hope will help illuminate other things, make things easier and quicker along the way. The last thing we discussed with Professor Shambhuta and Gesalakum, one issue I didn't discuss, because I didn't have enough time yesterday to finish with it, and I decided to leave it for today, so let me pick up with that. That very quickly on Pops and Shabbat. I want to speak a little bit about the Minchas Kinos, a little bit more, and just to highlight some of the issues before we get back to Geza. What we've seen is that we discussed Menorah pretty thoroughly, but then we discussed what is the status of Pops and Shabbat for Yisrael. And what we saw basically, what I tried to show is that there are really primarily four perspectives on Geza, Pops and Shabbat for Yisrael. One ranging from the extremes, again, that it's muta legamri, if you interpret that there's machlokas asukyas, or that you read nun zayin in light of nun tes, simple reading of nun tes min aleph, pachim shavar puta is muta legamri, day in the Ramah, the lachanishin, etc. Then you have the opposite view, which is that pachim shavar puta is a maisa avera. It's included in the law of Losigzo and Losignovu, fully. The only thing is that there's no hashav. And these are really two very important perspectives, especially since we're interested in characterizing Geneva and Zela more generally. We're trying to interpret the implications of things like Gezalakum and Pax Mishantuta and Amanas Lemekat and so on and so forth. So whether this ends up being something that is peripheral or doesn't exist at all, whether it's something that is central, is important. The middle two positions are the view that this is a kind of Isur Klali of Chatzishir, the equivalent of what we have in Macholas Asuros, right? And that's the position of Chinuch and Magen Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah. That then is held hostage, the significance of that view is held hostage to how we generally understand Chatzishir. Right. Is it an Isur Klali or Prati? Is it a Siag? Or is it more fundamental? Etc. And then the other middle view, the one which I'm suggesting is Rambam's view, is that it's not included in the Isur, but not because it's actually a quantitative Chatzishir, but because it's lacking an important dimension of classical Gneva and Gzela. It has one element, but not the other. It's basically a maisa, but it's lacking the hefsed mamon component. I think that works particularly well in the Rambam's Hilchos Geneva, where he links it with Amanas Lemekat, as we discussed, and Shalayar Gil Atzmo Bekach. The perspective that says that basically it's a full Geneva included in the Lav, but is a perspective that will say, well, what is the but? But there's no chi of hashav. So it's just interesting to note, and that is, truth is that's the way I was interpreting the chinuch in Kuf Lamed, and I think that's the way many achronim understand either the Rambam or others. Specifically, if you look at the Franco Rambam, that's how he understands Perak Aleph, Halacha Vav, and of course Gzela. Where the Rambam says, we're not in the shiva anymore. Rambam says, "Hagozel pachas v'shava pruta afal pi she'avar eino betoras hashev gzela." So in the Makoros here, the Frankel Rambam, he quotes the Knesset Agdola, who says, Afapi she'avar belo sase. That's how he adds one word. Afapi she'avar belo sase, eino betoras hashev gzela. And that would be a very important formulation. Now Rashi, as we already noted in Sanhedrin and Nun Zayin, is one step below that. As Rashi says, that what's lacking is hashava. But he also makes it clear that there's an Iser, but it's not part of the Pasuk, the Avera, of Lo Signovu and Lo Sigzal. So Rashi does focus on, the but is there's no Ashava, but it's more than just no Ashava, and therefore anything which is not nitan le hishavon is also not nitan to the lav as well. Yeah.
So just the inverse of the shita is the Meiri on Daf Kof Hei, who says that it's not a full mitzvah zila, but there is a fear hishavon.
It's not a full. Meiri says on Kof Hei that there's a mitzvah. Oh, that's sugya of the. Oh, we'll discuss it when we get to it. But Meiri says explicitly that there's a chiyav, always a chiyav hashava and pachas mishava pruta.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. I wasn't aware of that shita. Very good. That would be the opposite of this. That is no. And where is the? I mean, it's included in Beheshev. It's like zela, but not in los sigzol and los signovu. Uh-huh. And why does he say that?
I don't think there's any effect in the pasuk. He's trying to distinguish between when you stole more than a pruta and they returned everything, but part of
yeah that's the sugya there, gimel prutos. Just, but there's no reason to say that from that sugya. But okay, I'll look at it. But very good. That's an important contribution. That you could have the opposite sheet as well. That there is a hashava without being part of the law. The Minchas Chinuch, as we'll see in a second, just is wondering how does anybody know that there's no hashava? This is a pet peeve of the Minchas Chinuch. How do you know that there's no hashava? How does the Rambam know in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav that there's no hashava? But again, these different formulations are very important. They're really, you know, they look like they're about, you know, something very small, but they're really very significant in terms of, you know, what the nature of Geneva and Gzela is really all about. So the Knesset Gdola, and if you look at some of the other Achronim as well, again in the Haros and the Minchas Chinuch, he quotes the Yavnei Nezer, and again for different reasons, different, you have to be looking for it, but Yavnei Nezer and I think Sefer Makne, some other also who assume that basically Pox Mishava Pruta is, according to the Rambam even, is included in the Lav, just that there's no Hashava. Again, you could read it that way. Hagozim b'alav shabruta af b'sha'avar. The Rambam does say the word avar. Einu b'taras hashev gezela. But what's interesting is that the Rambam doesn't exactly say that. It doesn't say af b'sha'avar b'lo signov or lo sigzol. He says af b'sha'avar, which I think is basically the equivalent of saying af b'sha'asur in halacha base, especially given perik. Aleph, Halacha, Aleph, and Beis in both Geneva and Gezela. And therefore, I think it's actually interesting in the opposite direction. Whereas Rashi in Sanhedrin, in Zion Rav, says it's not included in the basic law because it's not a Dover Shanitan Lehishava. So, is that the reason that the Rambam thinks that it's not included in the law? Because when I read the Rambam, I read it exactly the opposite of this Knesset Gdola. I thought it was very telling that the Rambam quotes the halacha that there's no hishavon in halacha bav, separate from halacha beis. In other words, it sounds like, according to the Rambam, the reason that it's only asur and not chayiv, and that it's not included in halacha aleph in the lab, is not because of hashava, but that the Rambam is telling us two distinct halachas. Number one, it's not included, well, which actually works nicely according to Ephraim's Meiri in a way. I mean, the Rambam disagrees with Ephraim's Meiri, but the Rambam is basically saying one could have said Ephraim's Meiri, but it's wrong. Now, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis teaches you, Aleph and Beis teaches you that Gneva and Gzela do not include, the Lav does not include Pachas Mishava Pruta, but it is Asur. And Halacha Bav teaches you a halacha that there's no hashava. And the Minchas Chinuch says, how does he know that, and where does it come from? So again, if you read like Knesset Gdola, it's like Rashi in Sanhedrin, except that it's upgraded one. It's even part of the Aveira, but. Okay. But if you ask me, this proves that the Rambam holds that these two things have nothing to do with each other. It's not like the Sefer Chinuch, which is even, you know, like the Knesset Gdola in a way, Kuf Lamed. It's not like Rashi. These are two different different issues. Maybe not completely different, but at least one is not responsible for the other. Lack of Hashava is not what makes it only Asur, at least. But that doesn't mean that they don't share something in common. What they may share in common is the idea that we've been developing, which is there's no hashava for the same reason that it's not in the basic lav, and that is that it's missing the component of mazik and hefsed mamon shel chaveiro. But it's not responsible for halacha beis, it's just another expression of halacha beis. And the Rambam, I think, is very good that way, because you have halacha beis, which tells you it's not part of the Iser, and on the contrary, it's shelo yargil atzam v'kach in Geneva, and it's with gezel akko min zela. And then you have the dinim of gezel and oshek, etc. And then, after that, the Rambam speaks about hashava, and then he says, and by the way, especially in light of what I've said before, it should be clear that there's not going to be hashava for Papa Kruta either, because it's not a Mechayev of Mamon. So if anything, Vav is a result of Beis, rather than Vav being the foundation of Beis, which is what it is for the Chinuch, and in a lesser sense, for Rashi. So I think it's really, really very, very meduya. He also quotes here in the Frankel on the spot, he says, obviously he needs to contrast it with Knesset Gadol. He points out that if you look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, right, the Rambam there uses the expression that he talks about, you know, Shuas HaBikadam. Anishba L'goy Mishalem Misakeren V'ein HaChayiv B'chomesh V'chein HaGozol Pokos Mishavar Pruta V'kafar Nishba Ein HaChayiv B'chomesh She'ein Pokos Mishavar Pruta Mamo. The Rambam uses the expression that it's not Mamo. And in Pirshei Mishnayos in Ma'ase Sheni, also there in Dalet Ches, he, Frankel just says Ayin. If you look at it though, he also makes it clear that he thinks that lesser pruta for Gzela as well as for other issues is just not considered a davar chashuv at all. In other words, it's not the problem of mechila, and it's not a problem of lack of hishavon. It's and on the contrary, the Ram never ever formulates Gzela in terms of Paksu Sham Kruta in terms of Mechila. What does he do with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? What we suggested. He interprets that Mechila, not Mechila, is not a function of actual Mechila, but it's a function of Shei Mamon. Lishitaso, I would say, in Perek Chavtes, Silkus Mechira, Halachas, where he says the same thing about Ona. So I think the Rambam is just remarkably, if we look nowhere to look for the patterns, the Rambam in all these places is very, very consistent that the problem with Shavar Pruta is a problem of Mamon. What you have is basically the equivalent of kind of a qualitative Chatzishir, not a quantitative one. You have one dimension, but you're lacking another of what Gneva and Gzela is all about, and therefore you end up not having the real Aveira, you end up not having Hashava, because it isn't really Mamon. So I think these are very. This is important just to build up the position of the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch, on the other hand, I think really, again, really, really, really does not take this whole approach at all. The Minchas Chinuch, number one, the horror that I mentioned the other day that somebody had mentioned to me, the Minchas Chinuch makes. I was looking at it again last night. The Minchas Chinuch in Reish Kofta, I think in Koflamid. Says maybe the Rambam is trying to tell us that that Pachos Mipruta applies to Benoach and not to Yisrael in the same way that that Eivor Menachai, the Shiurim, apply only to Yisrael and not to a Benoach. That becomes very important for the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch agrees, let me put it this way. He agrees with our analysis in that he thinks that according to the Rambam, Pops Mishav Pruta is not about Mechila. That he agrees 100%. He says, listen, the fact that the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, says what he says, it goes to Pops Mishav Pruta, Pops Mishav Avar, Hina Vitar Sashav Gzela, and he doesn't quote a Makar, how does he know it? And why can't it be true? And now we know there's a Shita that says it is Mechala Shava, even better. So he says, why? Because of Mechila? He says, well, if it's because of Mechila, says the Minchas Chinuch, then there should have been all sorts of nafkamina. Which nafkamina? The ones that we were talking about the other day. Cherushot of Akatan, right? Makpid. And he adds a bunch of others for good measure. Let's say the guy doesn't know that you stole from him. So he's lo yada de machal. As we get into a question of, you know, Yir Shalom Midas, right? Lo yada de machal. So he says, but the Rambam never makes any of these distinctions. Obviously, he does not like the Gemara. Again, he doesn't suggest what I'm suggesting, which is that the Rambam read the Gemara in a different way, in terms of Mechila. But he says, obviously, the Rambam doesn't hold that the issue is Mechila. So what is it? So the Minchas Chinuch has a different approach for the Rambam, which is interesting, and overlaps some of our issues, but not others. And that is, he says, well, the Chinuch, he doesn't quote the Chinuch, here, he should have quoted the Chinuch, but he says the Ketzer Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, they say that the Rambam Shita is based on Chatzi Shir. So he says, so now you can ask a simple question. Chatzi Shir applies to Iser Mamon, just like it applies to Machalos Asuros, according to them, their reading of the Rambam. But does it also apply to a Mitzvah Saseh? In a Mitzvah Saseh, do you ever have Chatzi Shir? So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, that's a big discussion all over the place. You know, ayin, all different places where I discuss that problem. Is there a Chatzi Shir in the doing of mitzvahs? Interesting question. So he says, well, maybe that's the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam holds that the Iser of Pachas Mishar Pruta is Chatzi Shir. And that's why he thinks that there's no Hashava, because he holds that Chatzi Shir doesn't apply in mitzvahs, it only applies in Iser. And that's why he doesn't make the distinction, Cher Shad of the Katan, or Layada, or Makbid, Vitzavach, because he doesn't think it's based on Mechila, he thinks it's based on the idea that Chatzi Shir is not Chayiv in mitzvahs. End of story. And Lamai Nafkamina. So the Minchas Chinuch says there'll be plenty of nafkamina, in addition to the cases that we just mentioned. For example, what will happen in other cases? Nisyaker Beinatayim, which is a little bit has to do with that sugyan kuvei. Let's say you steal something that is less than a pruta, and it, like oil, it goes up in price from the time you stole it to the time that we're discussing. So when you stole it, it was less than a pruta, now it's more than a pruta. So Minchas Chinuch says, if it's a din of mechila, so it depends on the moment when you steal it. But if it's a din that Chatzi Shir doesn't apply to Chiyuv Hashava, he says, so then it'll work the following way. Maybe the Chiyuv Hashava is triggered immediately. So in that sense, it should be the same. In other words, there's no Hashava. At the time of the Gzela, it was less than a pruta, so there's no Hashava. So from that point of view, it's the same. But there's still one huge nafkamina. If it's really, really mechila, so then the gazlan becomes a violin. But if it's really just that there's no chatzi shir, and there's no chiyuv hashava, so good, there's no chiyuv hashava, the guy doesn't have to travel for this, he doesn't have to pay any expenses to fulfill this mitzvah saseh, but he's also holding on to a chepetz, which is she'ena shalom. Minchas Chinuch assumes that if there's no mechila, then the pachos mishava pruta is even if it's not chayiv hashava, is eino shelo, legamri eino shelo. He says if that's the case, so let's say it now goes up in price. Until it goes up in price, it's eino yotze b'dayani, because it's less than a pruta. That's the Mishnah in Hazav, that pachos mipruta is eino yotze b'dayani. But once it goes up in price, this guy is holding on to your diamond ring. Right? Last week, diamond rings were worth less than a pruta. All of a sudden, you know, the world decided that diamonds are either forever, or a girl's best friend, or whatever they are. Or they found out that they're very, they're the hardest substance. Whatever it is, all of a sudden the discovery was revealed, and all of a sudden they went from being less than a pruta, being considered, you know, a rock, to being a rock. Okay. So you're holding on to this, $3 million rock that's somebody else's. That's Yotzeh B'Dayanim. There's no Chiyuv Hashava, but it's Yotzeh B'Dayanim. But if it was Mechila, at the time, it was a rock. So he thinks that these are the Nafkamina. But once you say that, then there are other Nafkamina. Can you use the, not the diamond, but let's say it was an Esrog, a Hadar. Let's say it was an Esrog. You stole an Esrog and it's worth less than a pruta. So can you use it for the mitzvah of Dalaminim? Lachem. So he may not have Chiyuv Hashava, but if there's no actual Mechila, then maybe you can't use the Esrog. Can't use it as an Esrog either. Or let's say he wants to make Kaddish and Isha with it. Either after the diamond went up, he doesn't use diamond anyway to make Kaddish and Isha, but whatever. But let's say there was no stone in the diamond. Let's say The diamond is just the diamond. I don't know. I'm joking. But the whatever it is that he stole became worth a pruta. So, or let's say he took the half pruta that he stole, and he was mitzarif it to another half pruta that he owned. And he wanted to give the isha the combination, right? Two half prutas. So again, if there's mechila, it'll work. If it's just a din that there's no chiyav hashava, then it's not going to work at all. So this is his, or for example, I think he discusses the question that Noah raised yesterday, which I said is an open question. And Chaskinuch also thinks it's an open question. What is the zman of tzir of l'shir? Let's say you steal from the nigzal, or the nignav, and you steal less than a pruta, and then you steal a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more. So in makolos asuros, everything depends on kezayis, bichdei, achilas pras. But in the world of Shavaputa, there's no kezayis and achilas pras. Is there any kind of sheer tziruf? Does it have to be one maisa? Where do you draw the line? Right? Does it have to be in the same action? Or, you know, you come back, but, you know, you haven't caught your breath yet? How do we define tziruf? Or is there tziruf? So the Minchas Chinuch says, in Me'ila, you can be mitzarev, the shir, shavapruta, even la'achar zman. So he basically says, is that because Me'ila is a separate Xeris HaKasav and that's how we know it? Or the only reason you need the Xeris HaKasav in Me'ila is because Me'ila is often linked to Truma. And Truma has the shir in terms of violation of Machalas Suros and Kadakulas Pras. So it's to teach you, don't look to Truma. But once you know not to look to Truma, anytime you're talking about Sir of Shavapruta, there's no time limit. That's Mechaskinuch Safek. That's what he's inclined to think, is the second. So he says, well, if that's the case, then if you were to be Mitzarev, you know, a quarter of a pruta, a quarter of a pruta, a quarter of a pruta, over 10 years, once you hit the magic mark, do you know, what happens then? It's Yotze B'dayanim. Right, so again, you don't even need to wait for the, you know, for the global market to change. Just, you know, have to catch up with the Shavapruta. So Michas Kinuch says, in all these cases, if it's Mechila, so it's Mechila, 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 more Mechila. Each little piece is a Mechila, and they never Mitzarev. But if the point is that it's not Yotze B'dayanim, and there's no Chiyuv Hashava, but it's also not yours, and once it's Mitzarev, then the end of the story. So then, says the Michas Kinuch, this will all work. So I think it's very, very fascinating. He's not considering our possibility at all, and that is that the Rambam really holds true, not real mechila, but not based on no chiyav hashava alone either. Again, according to the Minchas Chinuch, to highlight what I was saying earlier, which is one of the reasons I'm making this fuss about it, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav should have been written before Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, or they should have been written together. It shouldn't be base and then vav. It should be vav and base together. Because according to him, really the reason that Papas Mishavaput is treated differently is just because there's no chiyuv hashava. Or maybe they're two dinim, but they're related dinim. Chatzishir, le'inyan iser, chatzishir, le'inyan mitzasaseh. But according to what I'm suggesting, which is, it's a totally different reason why halacha vav and why halacha base. They are connected, but they don't have to be together because they just all both flow from something else, and that is the monetary aspect of Geneva and Gezela has been eliminated here, and therefore what you have is only qualitatively partial Geneva and Gezela. That's what's going on, and then you now have to ask yourselves, well, if you have a Maisa Geneva and Gezela without Hepsed Mammon, is it still considered a Maisa, and if so, what level? It may not be the Iser, and maybe it's an Iser, but not the actual Lab, and so on and so forth. So I think an interesting question to then ask is the following question. Are there any, to challenge, maybe, I'm not sure, are there any Kinyani Gzela or Gneva? Do Kinyani Gneva and Gzela flow from the Tzad Mamon Shebaveira? Are they despite the Tzad Mamon Shebaveira, and do they result from the Maisa Aveira itself? In other words, you might have the following situation. I just don't know. In other words, the Minchas Chinuch is assuming that whenever you have Pachos Mipruta, unless it's Mechila, right? The chepetz belongs to the nignab and the nigzal completely, even if there's no yotze b'dayanim. That's why the rest of his cases are to figure out when will there be yotze b'dayanim, when the price changes, when you get enough accumulation, and so on and so forth. You can't use it for esrog, can't use it for kedushin, etc. But we have precedent. We're going to discuss this more fully when we get to Karen Kane Shagana. Precedent for the idea that actually the opposite may be true. When there's no chiyuv the heishav v'sagzela asher gazal, the gazlan's kinyanim are even stronger because his maisa zela, his kinyan, is not immediately confronted with the chiyuv of the heishav v'sagzela asher gazal. I'm referring to the famous discussion of Rav and Rava and Sanhedrin, which we'll discuss it on Ayin Beis on Aleph about Kamla B'Rav Minei. Let's say you Baba Machteres, you steal something from the other fellow, right? And then it gets destroyed, right? So what do we say? Kamla B'Rav Minei. Why? Because you stole it. There are kinyanim when you steal an object. The only thing is the Heishav Sagzela Shagazal demands, nonetheless, pressures you to give it back, meaning limits your kinyanim. If you have kamalim drava mine, no limits. We'll discuss it. So what I'm saying is, ironically, if you don't have the chiyuv, the mitzvah saseh of the heishav v'sagzela asher gazal, so how do you know that the gneva or the gzela doesn't create an even stronger kinyan? How do you know that it remains the chepetz hanignav or hanigzal? At least it might have the regular status. Let me say it this way. According to the Minchas Chinuch, right, if pachas mipruta is mamon, and there's no mechila, and the only reason there's no v'heishav v'sagzela asher gazal is because the mitzvah saseh of v'heishav v'sagzela doesn't apply to chatzi shir. I'm just saying, so how do you, what, is it so absurd to say that there's a ma'is gzela here, and that our kinyani gzela on the pachas misham pruta? And if so, so maybe it will work for Lachem or Kiddushin or before you accumulate and so on. It's, how does he know? The truth is, the strongest raya, the Michal Shinuch himself, he doesn't formulate it this way, the challenge, but he does say at one point, and how do I know, as such a Dabar Pashut, that in this situation where there's no Veheshiv, that the object belongs to the Nignav and the Nigzal? He says, how do I know it? From Karka and Avadim. Because in the case of Karka and Avadim, right, which are not full Gzela cases, if there's any Gzela at all, the owner retains full ownership over the Karka and over the Eved. We'll have to see whether it's so about Eved. Karka and Gzelas is said about Karka. Right? The Karka is retained by the Nignav or the Nigzal. So you see from there that when you don't have the full Gneva, Gzela, with the Chiyav Hashava, the whole kit and caboodle, in that situation, the Nignav Nigzal remains the Bailin. That possibly is a very flawed comparison. In the case of Karkav, Shen and Nigzelas, Joe, what do we say about that? Karkav, Shen and Nigzelas. I'm saying that's a flawed comparison. What? Do you agree? Between Pachas Misham Pruta and Karkav. Just like Karka, you're not going to say that the Gazlan has Kinyanim in the Karka, so too you're not going to say it about Pachas Misham Pruta. What do you think? Avi? If you want to say that it's not a flawed comparison, you're fine, because you're just keeping company with the Minchas Chinuch.
It has something to do with the reasoning for the lack of Kinyanim is a little different.
I think so. Namely,
the Karka has more permanent than
number one, there may be no Maisa Gzela in Karka. Right? So something to look at. Whereas in Pachas Misham Pruta, unless you actually form, especially if you think that Pachas Misham Pruta is Mamon, but there's simply no Mitzvah Saseh, then maybe there is a Maisa Gzela. Moreover, the whole idea of Karka and Gzelas may be about Kinyanim. Maybe even first and foremost, it's about Kinyanim. That's not Nitan, the Kinyan Zela. And if that's the case, that's not necessarily the true when it comes to Paksha Mishava Pruta. So I think there's a certain irony here, just one more second. There's a certain irony here, and that is Dafka, if you take the perspective of the Minchas Chinuch in the second option, that it isn't really Mechila, just that there's no, well, he's reading the Rambam. There's no Chatzishir in the Mitzvah Saseh of Ehesh of Sagzeh Asher Gazal. Then I think it's this very strong case to make. There is a Maisik Zela, there are Kinyanik Zela, there's no Veheshivis like Zela to interfere. Maybe ironically, in a Minchas Chinuch-esque, you know, kind of a way, you know, your Kula becomes your Chumra. Because there's no Veheshivis like Zela, your Kinyanim are actually stronger. On the other hand, according to what we've been suggesting all along, it's more of an open question, and maybe not even an open question, maybe it's more weighted to the other side. Because what we've been saying is, the reason that this is a compromised Gneva Ugzela is because the whole Hefsed Mamon, the whole Choshen Mishpat part of it, is questionable. So then the question is, do the Kinyanim come from the Choshen Mishpat and the Hefsed Mamon part of it? Or do they come from the Maisa, Gneva, Ugzela? I think it's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's reasonable to say that the Kinyanim have to do with the Choshen Mishpat part too. In which case, I would be more comfortable with this pshat in the Rambam concluding as the Minchas Chinuch does than I would with the Minchas Chinuch song pshat. Yeah.
The Minchas Chinuch also assumes that there's no mitzvah lahatzer or chilahatzer karka. There's no mitzvah shemot. I don't think there's a pasuk. I think the Arishonim are talking about.
We'll get to it. But you could. I mean, no, with avodin maybe, but
the question karka.
But what's the huk shel karkos? You're talking about deriving in Perktes al Achal.
In
the Kedushim on Tzadi Zayin,
I mean? I don't remember what that was. It's because of our Shechal Hanecha that allows you to eat the.
Right, okay. But again, that's a Vadim, I think. I think the Rabbi can talk about that. You have to, we'll discuss the Avadim Mukshul Karkos issue. It might be different. That's why I'm focusing more on Karka than Avadim, although they. Question of Kinyane Gzela may affect Avadim as well, even though maybe Mice Gzela may be different. But, yeah.
And also, the same point exists with regard to your interpretation. You're saying that there's no Chokas Hashava, so you still have the same point. You know, that there's no Mitzvah Hashem Gzela, so you might still have the same question about whether or not there could be, there might be a Kinyan. No
right, the only thing is, what I'm trying to add to it is that if the flaw in Pachas Mishava Pruta is a technicality that there's no Mitzvah Saseh B'chatzishir, but otherwise, less than a pruta is a maisa gneva ugzela l'chala dvarim. So then, why should I assume that there's no regular kinyane gneva ugzela? Moreover, if I think hashaba is an impediment or an inhibitor to the kinyane gzela or gneva of the gazlan, then I end up, that's what I meant by minchas chinuch chesk. I end up that you know, in this case, I actually end up with a stronger case like Kamlev Rabmine, there's no Veheshev Sagzela to bother me here. So I have a full-fledged Maisa Gneva Ugezela, which means regular Kinyanim, and I'm not interfered with by Veheshev, so why aren't there Kinyanim? But according to me, at least I'm trying to explain that the reason there's no Veheshev and that the reason that there's a significant component lacking in the Gneva Ugezela is because the whole Choshen Mishpat basis of this Gneva Ugezela is questionable. To say that the Kinyanim depend on that, I think it's not a difficult thing to say. I think it's an attractive thing to say.
Then it becomes a question whether or not you can be connected to something that's called Shabbat.
100%. I'm assuming.
It's not really a question about Kineva or Zayla, really. It's more a question.
Well, there are two questions. Can you be Kona? I mean, aside from this, there's another question. Can you be Kona anything that's possible from Shabbat?
But that's
a separate issue. That's a separate issue in general.
This is a good question, because according to the Rambam, if you say this.
No. Even if you could definitely be Kona, something that is less than a pruta, it's quite possible that what creates kinyanim for a ganav or a gazlan is the choshen mishpat part of what he is doing to the nignav and to the nigzal, and that exactly is what's lacking here. In other words, if I were to go to your store and I wanted to buy something that's pachas mishava pruta, I wanted to buy an esrog pachas mishava pruta, I could do that. It's questionable I could do that. That's Minchas Chinuch's famous discussion about the Aravos. Apparently, the Minchas Chinuch did not have to go out to Main Street and spend like $5 to buy a Ravos on Erev Sukkos. The Chassidus says that the Rashi, who says in seems to say in a couple places that there's no bailus and there's no shemamon and there's no kinyanim maybe on davar sheino shavapruta. He said, how could that be? If that were the case, how could you have the dalad minim? Because everybody knows that a ravos are worth less than a pruta. You get several for a pruta. Okay. So since you get several for a pruta, so where's the bailus? That's the famous mikhasvi. So we do see that the price of aravos has risen over the years. Anyways, the probably even the price of tzatzifa has risen over the years. But anyways, the point is that's a separate question. Is there bailus over? Are there kinyanim on something that is less than a pruta? Maybe we'll have a chance to discuss that later in the year, but it's not for right now. Assuming the answer to that question is yes, and it's certainly a huge machlokas, a poskim at minimum, there's another question, that is, if you steal something less than a pruta, do the kinyanim that a regular maisa, gneva, and zela give you, do they apply to stealing something less than a pruta? That's the question that I am addressing. I think it's reasonable to say that if, according to the Rambam, what's lacking in zela or gneva, shavapruta, is the kosher mishpat component, then it's that kosher mishpat component, not necessarily the dvar iser, which is result, which creates the result of kinyanim. If you think that that's unreasonable,
then the dvar iser, which creates kinyanim, because it wouldn't be the fact that you do a ma'aseh kinyan on something which can be gone.
Right. The question is, you're doing a ma'aseh kinyan keneged ratzon habaylin, right? It's not a regular ma'aseh kinyan. If I'm not trying to steal something, but I go to your store. And I have no intention of stealing, right? Like la'abed or other things, or I simply don't know that I'm stealing. Right? There are no kinyanim against a person's will. Right? Part of what we'll discuss when we discuss kinyanik zela, but one of the things that undoubtedly may create kinyanik gneba and gzela against the person's will is the irony that what you're involved in is a chosha mishpat kind of action / transaction. If that's true, then in the case of Pachas Mishava Pruta, it's very conceivable that you're lacking that. You don't have it. Yeah.
Because you're saying just that there's no kinyanim, or that it's the lack of kinyanim then that in turn creates the lack of Chiv HaShava, similar to like a shomer who doesn't have kinyanim as a shomer.
So in this case, in the case of the Rambam, according to the way I'm reading the Rambam, I'm not saying the second, I'm saying the first. I'm saying that you don't need... It's a common denominator which is responsible for all of these things. It's not one that is pulling the other. If the Dine Mamanis is what's lacking in Papas Mishava Pruta, then the Dine Mamanis component of Gneva Ugzela, then it's understandable that Hashava doesn't apply. For the same reason that we explained that there's no Hashava Lachu. But according to some
Rishon, not that the Kimyanim generate the Hashava.
Correct. But that they both flow from the same common motif. Okay.
Can we say the Ram in Kiddushin as far as the question of Aravos? Can we say that if you're Kli, it's Papas Mishava Pruta?
You mean the Ram and Avgimel and the Rajba in Shavuos? Mm-hmm. You mean you're worried about the Minchas Chinuch and the Aravos problem? You could, maybe. But that's not our problem, not our issue right now.
Right.
By the way, the Minchas Chinuch has the Safek about the Rajba. The Minchas Chinuch in Nun Tes, the Minchas Chinuch in Nun Dalet, the mitzvah Nun Dalet is mistapik according to the Rajba's Safek that Kli Pachas Mishava Pruta might work for Yotze B'dayanim, or maybe for Hodah, or for Kiddushin. What will be in Linyan Zela? It's mistapik. Again, I use this as an example the other day. You know, maybe there is Shemamo, there's just not Shava Pruta. So if it's a Din Shiurim, it still might be Chatzi Shir. If it's a din in shei mamon, then I think it's quite possible that Kli Pachas Mipruta really does have a shei mamon. So I think it is and you know, you might be able to answer the Michas Chinuch's Aravos question against Rashi that way as well. Except that Rashi, it doesn't answer fully, because Rashi is talking about cheftas. I mean, Rashi is talking about Isuriana, but Rashi is talking about, you know, an Esrog, Esrog Shel Orlo in Sukkah, when he says it. So be a little tricky to have. The chiluk makes sense. It doesn't really answer Rashi for that. Anyways, I think in a similar vein, It would be an interesting question in the following case, and which I might deal with differently than the Minchas Chinuch. And that is, Gezel Pachas Mipruta Minagoy. Right? Which the Minchas Chinuch deals with, but again, his analysis is just a little different. Let's say you steal a Pachas Mipruta from a Ben Noach, or from a Goy. So that's an interesting question now, because it's the opposite of the case in Sanhedrin, in a way, of, you know, Yisrael, I mean, Goyshe, Gazal, Pachas Mipruta, Yisrael. Right, you have Goyshe, Gazal, Pachas Mipruta, Yisrael. What means, from the victim's point of view, it's Einam Amam, and from the Gazal's point of view, it's a Maisek Zeila. And he's Marviach, what to him is Mamam. Assuming you interpret that way. But the Gemara called Tzir is Yisrael. So in a way, what happens in the opposite case? Let's say the Yisrael steals Pachas Mishavapruta from the Goy. So to the Goy, this is money. Let's take according to those Rishonim. But for the Yisrael, it's not. So from the victim's point of view, there's Hefsid Mamon. But from the Abarian's point of view, he's not doing anything. But again, the Minchas Chinuch doesn't exactly analyze it this way, because he has these two views. I mean, it's either the question of the Mitzaseh, so the question is there a Chiyuv Hashava, you know, when you steal from a non-Jew to begin with? That becomes that part of that issue. Right? Or it's a question of Mechila, and then it's a Davar Pasha. But according to what we're saying, there's another option here, and that is, it's a question of the monetary component of Gzela. So when Yisrael steals from a non-Jew, I think I have two elements. Number one, the Gezel of a Goy, from the Goy's point of view, is about the Ma'is Aveira more than the Hefsid Mamon. And so there are two elements. Number one, from his point of view, there's Mamon, and from him as a victim's point of view, it's that's what matters. But the Yisrael is the Avarian, ironically. So I think, again, you have to look at that case a little bit. It's not Yotze B'nei Yanim from a Yisrael point of view. On the other hand, there's no Mechila either. Mitzad Yisrael V'Avarion, it's not Kesef. It's exactly the opposite of that other case. Okay. And finally, just another one that he mentions, and that is Shtar. Let's say you have a Shtar, which as a piece of paper is Enesh Avapruta. Shtar Enesh Avapruta. So, Chinuch says, the big thing, you know, according to him, according to the other Rishonim except for the Rambam, is the idea that there's Mechila. And once there's Mechila, so then there's Kinyan, Mitzad HaGazel. Gazel owns it, because it's Nimcha. He says, but that's true for money. It's not true for Shtar, as we discussed last year, right? Machlokas, whether Osios Niklas from the Sira, or you require Ksiva Mesira, but everybody pretty much passes you require Ksiva Mesira. So how are you Kone Shtar? Not Kone Shtar through Mechila. So it would be an interesting situation if you steal a Shtar, which is less than a Pruta. Right? So the regular din of Pachas Mishav Pruta shouldn't apply. Of course, there's another aspect to the whole thing, and that is Shtar, Karka, Eved, what is their status in Zela and Gneva to begin with? So whether or not that'll end up being a serious nafkamina is going to depend on that as well. But if the miut doesn't get them, then it'll be another example where, according to Minchas Chinuch at least, you've isolated the chiyuv hashava, no chiyuv hashava, but there's no kinyan either. So that would be another issue, another nafkamina. Okay, let's move on to Akum. I'm sorry, it's taking a little longer, but this clarifies, I think, some of the issues. Highlights them a little better. Okay, so the topic of Pachas Mishav Pruta, yeah.
We discussed in our structure whether or not Mitzvah is a function of Nidam HaKoyer and Abba Asmal.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of the same subject if Hishavon is a function of Nidam HaKoyer and Abba
Asmal? I think these questions are being raised here, absolutely. In other words, whether or not you can split Hishavon from the Hefsid Mamon aspect. Or it flows from Maisa Aveira. I think it's very suggestive that that's where one of the main things that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So we have Hishavon, we have Kinyan Egzela, which I'm trying to show might be different even than Hishavon. And on the contrary, there's no Hishavon, maybe there's more reason to have Kinyan Egzela. But these are all questions. What about the Tzad Isur of Gneva and Gzela, as opposed to the Tzad mazik lehefsed mamon shavuot. Which of these drives these various halachos, these various dinim of the mizeh? It's well said. Okay. The question of poksim shavuputa, you know, is, depending on your point of view, either a very practical question. There's no shem mamon. I think it works nicely in the Rambam, and the Rambam in the other places as well. Or, lemaisa, there's mechiva, as we've explained. When we come to Akum, so the issue is parallel but slightly different. Parallel, if we can isolate that Akum as a victim is not mechayiv b'dine Yisrael, if that's true, it's one of the things we have to look at. Different, because here it's not the cheftza that's being stolen as much as it is the person from whom it's being stolen from. I could steal $1 million from the Akum or a pruta, and it's the same issue. The issue is his legal rights and the defense of his legal rights, as opposed to the actual cheft. So I think the issues are parallel, but we should expect that there'll be some differences just because the reason for splitting the two themes of Gneva v'Gzela, etc., are different. So what we already saw was yesterday was that there are two. I'm not going to finish it today. Well, I guess I finish most of it tomorrow. There are three Gemaras that are very, very important. One is the Sugya Bava Kama Kuf Yigimel and Aleph Kuf Yigimel Mabez, where the Gemara speaks about Gezel Akum and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and there you have the discussion whether the problem is one of Chilul Hashem primarily, or a more hardcore principled Iser Gzela. There also you have the distinction, the apparent distinction between Hafka, Salva Aso, and Hata'a, and Metzia, as opposed to Gezel. It seems like even if Gezel Akum is Asur, Hafka, Salva Aso might be Mutter, Hata'a might be Mutter, and Aveda might be Mutter. That's a simple reading of the Gemara in Bava Kama. Although what Hafka, Salva Aso exactly refers to is not clear, and the cases and scope of Hata'a is also not so clear. What are the cases of Hata'a that are mentioned there? David? Okay, right. The guy's trying to sell, but more specifically, what are a couple of cases?
In case the guy has bought some kind of necklace or something, jewelry.
Right, he's trying to buy jewelry and he wants to buy, and he thinks, you know, the guy thinks he's selling him
copper
and he ends up giving him gold, let's say. And then the Gemara says, for good measure, and moreover,
that he was going to buy it at a certain price, and he actually ended up paying less.
Yeah, so it's like a double Hata'a in that case. That's one issue. And then the Gemara also has a very suggestive bunch of cases where the guy says, or somebody says,
it seems that the case, one of the cases, he said it would have been okay to take it because of the price.
Okay, no, but what does he say? He says, Alecha.
Oh, it says
that you're
to make sure.
And the Rishonim all argue, who says that to who? Meaning, does the non-Jew victim, in a way, does he say, I'm relying on you? Or does the Yisrael say to the non-Jew that I'm relying on you? And does one person, does it matter who initiates that statement or not? And it's very, very important to figure out. Again, we're not going to spend much time on it because I want to move on. But it's very important to figure out halacha lemaisa. It's certainly very important. What is included in hatas akum if it is indeed mutter? But also, again, to understand how to classify hatas akum. Basically, the question is what, Ellie? When I say to classify hatas akum, Ellie Elastiger. When I say the question in trying to figure out what Hatala means is, you know, to figure out, you know, what kind of halacha it is. So does it matter whether he initiates the ruse or he just goes along with it? What's really the bigger issue? In terms of connection to Gezel Akum.
Consider it.
Yeah, is he, in other words, is this something that, is this how the, we're not imposing like a lefnim mishuras hadin, maybe it's almost too strong language no matter what, but it would be nice to say that, you know, basically this, you have this bumbling, Akum. Okay. And, you know, he's making mistakes all over the place. It's not a question of you're exploiting him either. The question is, do you have to go out of your way? Like, it's buyer beware, it's seller beware. There's a certain understanding in the marketplace that, you know, when people buy and sell, that they do so on a certain level. You're not responsible if he's going to write a leaky contract. You know, it's not irresponsible to dot his I's and to cross his T's and to remind him of every mistake and every loophole that he's leaving open. But if he's your brother, you know, it's one thing. But if he's, you know, stranger, somebody who you respect, but he has a certain achrayus about his own affairs, so you're not supposed to clean up after his, incompetent, entrepreneurial enterprise. It's not your job. So if hata'a can be explained that, you know, the guy can't count, the guy doesn't know how to protect himself in a contract, the more we can explain it that way, the less it has to do with Gezalak, and the more it has to do with what other category, Michael? In the Gemara there. Okay, yeah, for sure. If there's any whiff of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem in any of these cases, that'll be Asur in its own right. And by the way, I mean, you shouldn't leave here without any Safek. You know, we're discussing the fundamental question because we're interested in the nature of Geneva and Gezela. And it's important to understand the different Shitos. But Halacha Lamaisa, even if we were to conclude that there was a Terim Gemurim, the Chil Hashem, the specter of Chil Hashem, especially Bizmanenu, is so strong that, you know, one should be very scrupulous about any of these details. So Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, 100%. But I'm talking about if we were to explain Hatah as meaning the guy, listen, he's a victim of his own stupidity. Not just his stupidity, his own carelessness, his own lack of responsibility. It's not my job to be responsible for the ABCs of his contract making. Okay, so then I could put it with what? In the Gemara. So then the only way that I'm Mechayiv him, is if there's a Kiddush Hashem, to remind him, is if there's a Kiddush Hashem, because otherwise it would be under the category of, what would you say, in the cases of the Gemara? Michael? Aveda Sakum. But everybody will agree that Aveda Sakum is no chiyuv. That's discrimination. No, it's not my job when I walk by Aveda Sakum to pick it up. It's my job for Yisrael because it's my brother.
That could have been the chiluk of having at least the chiluk from Chalik in Hichud Hazel the other day,
even in Aveda itself, 100%. Right, absolutely. Even within Aveda itself, the Gemara is Havamina, not to be Mechalai. That when you pick it up, that's already, you know, a chiyuv. Otherwise, it's lefnim mishur sadin of getting involved. I don't have to get involved in Aveda's acher. Only Aveda's mishpacha. Right? So where do you draw the line? Or no. Even once you pick it up, you're not obligated. It's not like you put it there. So it's clear, and Meiri says it most explicitly, that Avedas Akum, being mutter, is not discriminatory and it's not exploitive in any way. It just means that you don't have a lefnim mishur adin obligation to be metapel with somebody else's lost property. So one could say, if you take a certain hard line on hata, that is, you can't initiate, you can't instigate, you know, but basically if the guy's a bumbling, irresponsible merchant, and you assume something about the laws of entrepreneurial activity, which is that, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, that's what they teach you in Sai Sims, no? Got to be aggressive and learn how to market. Okay. So, you can tell that I never went in the Sai Sims. But, it's everybody, you know, competitive advantage. So part of competitive advantage is, you know, you have a good lawyer, he has a mediocre lawyer. You're careful about what... I'm not so sure it's exactly that. But what I'm saying is the more it can be, the more it's limited to cases like that, then we could say, you know what, it's an extension of Aveda Sattva. But if it means I can't take his money, but what I can do is I can exploit his, you know, incompetence, and even if he makes a physical error, I don't have to point that out to him either, and I can even do things to kind of confuse him and mix him up so that he'll make physical errors. If I can instigate and initiate and partly cause his bumbling, right, so then Hatas Akum is already a lot closer to Hafkas Havaaso and Oshek, and Hafkas Havaaso and Oshek is pretty close to Gezel and to Geneva. As Hafkas Havaaso and Oshek is certainly about initiating Hefs and Mama, no question about that. So we have different categories in the Gemara, and we have to figure out what they are. Between Avedas Akum and Gezel Akum, there's quite a bit of distance. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Then you have the Gemara in, and the unclear relationship between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the factor of Kiddush Hashem, and the fundamental one, which is what I'm interested in more. Again, Alach Lamaisa, we should all be Machmir and Kiddush Hashem. That, there's no issue of that. Aside from which, the Meiri, I should mention, you know, the famous Meiri is where one of the most forceful statements of. Meiri says that all these discussions of Gezel Akum and Tos Akum, Nafkas Akum, refer to Ovdei Kochavim, meaning idol worshippers, whose quality of life we, you know, really strongly reject. And again, it goes back to what I spoke of in the first half, the Hashkafa share. Namely, there are Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaver. There's Ben Adam L'Chaver, but it's not completely uninfluenced by Ben Adam L'Makom. We believe somebody's living a life of Avodah Zarah, you know, then it affects the way that we, you know, we consider sometimes that his quality of life is lack of sensitivity to the Ribbono Shel Olam as such, that he's a walking, you know, two-footed animal, but not much more. That's very harsh, but that's a certain view of Avodah Zarah. So the Meiri says this whole sugya, Gezel Akum, Talos Akum, of course, it's all Ovdei Kochavim, but Ame Magidurim Bedarkei Hadas, as he calls it, all over the place, in Avodah Zarah, and Bava Kamma, and Bava Tzitzis, major sheet of the Meiri, it's well known. Monotheists, in a word, who believe in one God. Doesn't mean they accept Yahadus, they don't. But they have a meaningful, spiritual focus in their lives, which animates their Ben Adam, makes for a Ben Adam L'Makom, and also impacts necessarily on their Ben Adam L'Chaveru as well. Such people, it's Davar Pashut, says in the Iri, the Sugya is not talking about them. It's Davar Pashut that there's an Iser Gzeir. I think it's a wonderful Shita. Whether all Poskim really hold that way, I'm not sure. But that's an Iri's view. There are also Rishonim who are Mechalik between Shiva Amabin, possibly, and regular of the Kochavim. I think I mentioned this the other day. The Rimal O'Neil, some of the other Chachmei Provence, not necessarily with regard to Gezel, I'm not familiar with regard to Gezel, but at least with regard to Mazik, where the issue comes up in the context of Mazik too. Mazik Akum. So there are those who say, you know, say Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, so, certainly Mamonam is fair target as well. But, or at least you're not going to be Mishalim, perhaps in Mamon, not Shiva Amabi. But you know, others might be chayv v'nimafsid mamon ben adam l'chaveru, fellow human being, attack that way. So these are important distinctions. I say halach l'maisa, there's no question how we have to behave and conduct ourselves. We're only speaking theoretically because we're interested in the scope of the Yisur Gzeira. That's sugi baba kam. The sugi baba metziah kufi aleph with base. On the other hand, leaves us with a quite different impression. There, we talk about Oshek and Gezel, and it seems like Gezel Akum and Oshek Akum is Mutter. It's also perhaps noteworthy that you have separate Limudim for Oshek and for Gezel. Yesterday I mentioned that you have the Girsa of Amalek in the Gemara, and whether that's significant, especially in this hierarchy. So Michael mentioned to me after the shiur yesterday that the that was put in by the censors. Is that that's everybody accepts that, or?
I didn't see a Gemara that quotes anyone who doesn't have.
But the original Gemara just said
the
Akum.
The newer
or
Gemara.
Yeah,
put back then.
Yeah. So it could be that the Amalek was just put in, you know. Okay. So that's something to look at. But in any case, the Gemara Baba Tiyuk, if you Aleph on base, is significant for distinguishing between Oshek and Gezel, requiring the separate pasuk for each. But the impression is that both Oshek and Gezel Akum are mutter. Then you have Sanhedrin and Zayin and Aleph, where the Gemara says Yisrael Bakuti mutter. And then you have the important Rashi there as well. What does Rashi say there on Min Zayin and Aleph? Abigail, you say the same Rashi. Anun Zayin Amid Aleph. He asked the Kasha from, do you have it with you? He asked the Kasha from Baba Kama. Was it Josh? Do you have it, or you just gave your Gemara away?
Well, no, it wasn't.
Oh, they were just being Yoni was the generous son. Okay. Hey, guy. Yisrael, what is it? Yisrael Ba'akum Asur? I think it's the Ram Asur? Yisrael Bakuti? Yisrael Bakuti.
Yisrael
Bakuti Mutter?
Mutter.
Number one, the limud is Losasha Kriyachak. He's talking about Gzela. It's interesting that Rashi quotes the Oshek Pasuk to teach you the din of Gzela. Okay, go ahead. Oh. So that's particularly interesting that the Rashi is projecting that the only reason that Gezel Akum would be Aser, even in the Sugya Bava Kama, is because of Kilah Hashem. But I understand that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Bav Metzia established that the Kula Alma fundamentally, Gezel Akum is mutter. Okay. The Gra says he thinks that that's wrong. Quotes us Rashi. He says Rashi that did not understand the Gemara in Bava Kama properly. The Gra in Eben Ezer, Simulkov Ches Sivkotin Hey, I think, if I can read my own handwriting, and Shin Mem Ches Sivkotin Ches. In both places, he say quotes us Rashi. He says, I don't know how Rashi can read the Gemara that way. Rashi in his Perush al Torah also, in the Pasuk of Bechisha bim Koneu, which talks about calculating, you know, and as opposed to cheating the non-Jew of his ownership of a Jewish slave, Bechisha bim Koneu, which is the Makor for Gezel Akum according to some Makoros. Rashi there too says that it's based on Chil Hashem. Rashi seems comfortable with the idea that Gezel Akum is only a din in Chil Hashem. But the simple reading of the Gemara Bava Kama, otherwise, the Gra understood it. Simple reading of the Rambam, as we discussed yesterday, Kesa Mishnah aside, we'll discuss Kesa Mishnah tomorrow, that the Rambam holds that the Iser is an Iser Minat Torah, Lo Signovu, it's in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, sounds like it's every bit as Osur as an Avera, as a Lav, for a non-Jew as it is for Yisrael. In Gezel, it sounds like it's in halacha base with Chatzitir, and there it's different. And if that is indeed a correct diuk, and Michasinuch understood the diuk that way as well, that would work very nicely, perhaps, into our scheme of things, because what we've been trying to show is that maybe when it comes to Geneva, the emphasis is more about the Maisa Beira. When it comes to Gezela, the Hefsim Mamon plays a greater role. So what we might explain is that as a Maisa Beira, Gnevas Goy, Gnevas Yisrael is the same. And it's worse than Poxim Shava Pruta because basically the Chetza is a Davar Sheish Bashovi, which I spoke of earlier, the difference between them. But when it comes to Gzela, where the question is the Mechayiv of Hefsid Momon, not just having Hefsid Momon, there's a Chetza, and it's considered a full Maisa Avera. So there, the fact that he's not a bar, maybe he's not a bar key of Hefsimamon, may play a role. Or at least dilute at least the example somewhat. Yeah.
I don't understand how that works so well. If he's, if the Occam qualifies to be the victim of a Geneva and a Maisel, it's a malicious violence, then why can't he be a victim of a Hefsa?
If the Mechayev is the Hefsa, and he is, and his the protection of his money doesn't have the same status as the protection of Jewish money.
Okay, so that's
all. There's still a hotzom versus a mila because it's $1 million. Taking $1 million is a lekicha skepa. But so, for example, you'd have to look at Oshek. You'd have to look at this Kemamo. But as I said, going to his property and destroying his property is also not on the same level. So then you, I'm not saying it would be mutter, it's not. I mean, I think it's clearly, Gezel Akum, according to the Rambam, is clearly Nisu Daraisa. But it would be on a lower level than Gezel Yisrael, as opposed to Genevas Yisrael. Because from a Maisa point of view, they're the same. There's a Kifas, Kichas Kepetz, Shaveh, Mi'arishos. We'll see, the Chinuch actually invokes the language of. Anybody? So there is a Maisa Gneva. What the Rambam says about Amanas Lemekad in Gneva is what the Chinuch says about Gzela in Reish Chavtetz. So that you have, but you don't necessarily have more than that. Okay, so this is what we want to just finish off. Again, we'll try to do it more quickly. We'll try to finish this off tomorrow. And if we can, we'll start the other few makaros I gave you as well, and then which already are part of the Shaklat Atari Samach base, Mishnah and the Gemara.
Ready. It's caught in the back of the Frankel.
What was this? Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he developed, and somebody else develops that theme, but maybe the theme was this, or he just mentions it.
He's talking about why Elazar and Isamar couldn't be the ones to go in to get Nogam and Avihu from the Azara.
The Chizkuni. Saying the Frankel was trying to show this idea, or just mentions it as a
I don't remember where in the Frankel he first. I think he's talking about.
That's interesting. Very committed to argue that.
Maybe some of this connects to the notion of violence in general, and some of the things that you're looking for with Zelophishimo.
Let's get to that.
Make sure you're talking about violence of an operator.